still hear some pages turning. I'll wait just a second. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Verse number 14, we'll start there. Bible said, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. I want to stop right there and just read those two to get our minds in the right place. Try to get you the story told here as we go. But let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a good night. Thank you for a holy hush in the room. A reason, Lord, to continue on the day and time we're living in. God, we need you now more than ever. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help your people tonight. We realize you put a little something on our heart, and we're trusting you, God, to do that in someone's heart that this old preacher can't do. So bless the message tonight. Open the eyes and the ears of our understanding. Word of God, be our helper tonight to someone's life, Lord, that we might be more for Jesus. Thank you for this place and all the labor that goes into it. We're thankful, Lord, for the leadership and the reasons that the line is held so that we can come into a place and enjoy the things that we enjoy here tonight. Pray that you'd help it continue in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We're dropping into an account in the Word of God that's pretty amazing. It's one of many accounts of the life of King David. And at this point in time, there's been so much go on in his life. And here, both Judah and Israel have been they've joined together in one kingdom. And David here, he's decided it's time to bring the ark of the Lord up into his house and get the presence of the Lord where it should be. And there's it's pretty interesting. We're going to try to follow the story, but they mess up. He messes up. And one thing I could, if I could just ask you to pay attention to as we go along, there's reasons God asks us to do and to live the way He asks us to live. And there's order to this thing, and there's a holiness to God that cannot be ignored to have God's presence. And we realize that the ark of the Lord, the ark of the covenant, the ark here is really representative, if you will, of God's presence. We could say it'd be God's presence in our life today. And we need His presence. And so the hand of God, let me make this statement, try to get you in the right frame of mind. Let me say this, the hand of God is not the same always as the presence of God. Just because we enjoy the blessings of God doesn't mean that His presence is prevalent in our life. And Christy and I drove by a boat ramp today going home, and there's all kinds of folk out there. And the car washes was full today, and I mean, I'm not getting down on that. Don't turn cold on me. But there's a lot of things to do. But if we're going to have the presence of God, I'm talking about the presence. We've got the blessings of God already. I mean, you can look at this country. We're getting ready to celebrate 250 years next week. We could all say that we're partakers of the hand of God. God's hand of blessings on this nation. And you could probably look back in your own life and say, I can see times in my life that God's hand of blessing has been there, even when I've not had the presence of God. Matter of fact, I could look at the times in my life before I was saved that God spared me. I can see Him working in my life. But there's one thing that I know that I need now more than ever is God's presence. We could all say that God's hand has been on us and we've seen His hand of blessing working, but the benefits of the presence of God is different. Let me mention just a few that I need and that you need. With the presence of God comes God's direction. With the presence of God comes the joy of the Lord, the strength that God can give, the peace that God can give. I thought there's many verses that we could use to back it up, but there's one that I wrote down tonight. It's Psalm 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And there's so many benefits, isn't there, with the presence of God in our life. I thought about the presence of God also, listen, brings deliverance of sin in my life. Oh my, don't we fight the temptations, and man, we could go into that, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of that. Say, we're battling that every day. But with the presence of God, there is the ability that God can help us and keep us from sin. There's deliverance from sin. There's assurance. Listen, in difficult times, some of you are going through some difficult times, you need His presence. I thought about this verse here, Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 18. For in that He Himself had suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. We need His presence. It's different than God's hand that works. And we can see it. We can look at the life of David and we can see without question God's hand, the hand of God moving in his life. I want to take us here just for a minute. Let me take you back. And I don't want to tell the whole story. We'd be here. There's not enough time to recount all the accounts that we could with how God worked in David's life. But know this. We should begin by observing that the promise of God made to both Israel and David when David was anointed by Samuel there with that oil took a long time to be fulfilled. I think about the battles that's going on in everyone that's sitting here in your life. If you're striving for the Lord, there's probably times in your life that you've thought of this. Lord, I got saved a long time ago. I thought it was going to be easier than this. But as Pastor said, I do believe the days are getting short. We'll soon be where we're going. But it's been a while. It's been a while. Matter of fact, when I started preaching, I thought it's going to be a lot different than it is. But the battles are still going on. David, it was years before David became king. It was 15 years or so. This was a period and really that could be summed up. David's life could be summed up by two words. Time and trouble. A lot of time that God's promises took to fulfill and plenty of trouble. That reminds you of any verses. Any verses come to mind? Man born a woman. A few days. That's time. Full of trouble. So the delay in David becoming Israel's king, listen, that's not unusual. But rather, listen to me, it's typical in the way that God brings about His promises and His purposes in our lives too. God's not in a hurry. God has all the time that He needs. In fact, God's not limited by time. God has promised us things, listen, that we oft wait for before we receive. Now, I want to say this tonight. In times of waiting for God, listen, many of us have failed along the way to stay where we should be in God's presence. So waiting, listen, is a form of adversity. How are you doing with that? It's a test of our faith. It's an endurance, if you will. Satan often attacks by trying to capitalize on these delays. We often can forget the promises of the faithfulness of God or get impatient and veer from God's intended ways. We're going somewhere tonight. I'm trying to get there. So David spent a great deal of time waiting. We've spent some time waiting. We can see the hand of God in David's life, and we can all look back in our lives and see God's hand of mercy and protection and the grace of God in our lives. Listen, even before we got saved. Let's go, turn with me. There's about three different places I want you to turn and follow the story. Keep your hand here. We're going to come back here in 2 Samuel chapter 6, but turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I want to get into the teaching tonight and the preaching. First Chronicles chapter number 13. I'm going to try to stick to my outline. I wrestled with this thing about 1:30 last night, so it's just hot off the presses. And I don't want to get confusing. Let's read it. 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, look at verse number 3. Here's what David said in this same account. Here's what he said. Let us bring again the ark of God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. The first thing I'd like you to understand tonight is that David recognizes the importance of having the presence of God in his life and in his home. Do you? Listen, here's what David saw. He said this. He said, we didn't do this when Saul was king. And there's a lot of things that went wrong. There's a lot of hurt happened along the way. And David recognizes that it does not really have to be that way. With the presence of God, we got a lot of help that we need. I can look back at the days, listen, in my life that I have operated without the presence of God being where it should be. I've made some decisions being a good Christian that was really without the Lord's direction in my life. And a lot of times that don't turn out too well. Can you look at your lifetime and say there's days, maybe it's now, maybe, just maybe, you're a good church member, but you don't really have the presence of God in your life like should be? I tell you, you're headed for a train wreck. This thing's too hard without the presence of the Lord. Oh my, we can see it time and time again in our life. So David experienced the consequences and the hurt that is brought on, listen, even by others who didn't consult God. You don't live to yourself, and you can't die to yourself. So there's a difference, listen, in being part of the family of God or being God's people and having the presence of God leading and guiding us. It must be right in God's eyes. So David recognized the need to get the ark, the presence of God, there in the house of God, in David's house. Notice in verse 4, we read it together. All the congregation said, we'll do it. We agree with you. That is the right thing. Can I see, maybe by just a good head nod tonight, would you all agree with me tonight that it's right that we have the presence of God in our life? Amen. You've agreed just like the children of Israel agreed here, and it's the right answer. We're going to see something here. It's pretty amazing, though. Just because they said they wanted God's presence in their life did not automatically mean it happened. It's a pretty amazing story. And so they were right. It is right in God's eyes to have the presence of God. But as we follow the story, let me say this tonight. To have the presence of God, number one, not only was it right in their eyes, but listen, it's got to be right in God's eyes. I'm going to try to expound on that just a little bit with God's help. You can put your hand here, put your piece of paper here. I want to come back to chapter 15 here in just a minute. But let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 6 and follow the story just a little bit. See if we can lead you through the Scriptures and see what God will say to us tonight. So they did right. They said, yeah, we want God's presence in our life. But there's a way to go about it. Brother Michael, we just can't say that we want God's presence and poof, there He is. Y'all realize it don't work that way, right? There's a holiness about this thing. It's important that we line our life up with God's ways. We say we want it, but do we really? I'll tell you, it's important. All right, let's look at the story here. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Look at verse number 3. Here was David's plan to bring the ark of God to David's house. Here's what they did. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. I'd underline in your Bible right there, new cart, if you want to name it right in your Bible. He set it upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, who was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries and timbrels, and on the cornet and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now, if this is maybe your first time or maybe the first time in a long time you've been reading this, you may say, "Preacher, I don't see anything too bad there. You know, at first glance, I'd agree with you." But what I see here after studying it out, and I hope you'll see it too, is that we've got really a form of worship in the flesh. David decided he's going to lead this thing, and somebody's got to lead it. I realize that, but we better be leading with God's ways in mind. So David here, you see that in verse number 3, there was a new cart that David decided they was going to put the presence of God on. How many of you realize God's presence is not just going to go anywhere and dwell every place that we say we might want to take God? And so not only that, but in verse number 5, I believe it is, David also decided, and he must have been one more harp player. Matter of fact, he played before Saul, didn't he? And soothed the evil spirit that came upon Saul many times. David had some talent there. David decided, hey, we're going to get the band together, and we're going to just play before God. It's going to be a real good time. Here's one thing that they forgot. They forgot about God's ways to bring the presence of God into their midst. All of Israel knew that it was right, and they knew that they needed God. Evidently, though, it had been so long that anybody had really been in the ways of God just right, that they didn't recognize they was getting ready to make a big mistake. Listen, we're living in a day and time. You can go out here, listen folks, you can go out here and find about any brand of church that you want to go to, anything that satisfies the way that you want to live, you can find it. I'm going to tell you, you can't find the presence of God in your life just by following any religion that you want to follow. That's the truth tonight, Brother Connor, about called you Brother Caleb again. I don't know why I want to call him Brother Caleb. So evidently it had been a while. Let me ask you tonight, how long has it been since you've done a good checkup? Is my ways lining up with God's ways? Well, it's hard preaching tonight. It's supposed to be like this on a Sunday night. It gets better. Listen, it gets better. God's going to help us tonight. So when the presence of God shows up, do we really know how to respond? We notice in verse number 3 there was a new cart, and I'm not against anything new as long as it's right. These old songs right here, at one point, they were new. One of these old songs can be sung in the wrong spirit and in deadness, and it'll be plumb dead, won't it? Not necessarily wrong with anything new, as long as it lines up with God and His Word and His ways. So we notice there was a new cart. In verse 5, there was a decision to worship and how to worship. It was preconceived, if you will. And God, listen to me, God was just supposed to take what they were going to give Him that day. I wonder how we come into the house of God many times. I'm glad for a program. I'm glad for the songs that are sung. But I'm also glad that there's some preparation done before them singers ever start singing. Amen. Did you feel it tonight? The question is, do we really know how to respond when God's presence starts to move? How will we react? How will we move, and do we even know to respond? We're going to see a good response from David, but there's some trouble between here and there. Let's go a little further. So God's presence won't dwell just anywhere. Look at verse number 7 with me. We'll look at verse number 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor there, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. You can read it over there in the book of Chronicles. The Bible says the oxen stumbled. You can picture the ark shaking, and it was getting ready to fall. And all, listen, all this man done was stick his hand up there to stay the ark. He didn't want it to fall off. But God killed him. It's pretty harsh, isn't it? It's pretty harsh. You think about what we're talking about here. The whole of the nation has gathered. David's got a good service planned out. There's beautiful music. I don't doubt that that cart was the best cart that could ever have been. I don't doubt that those oxen was the finest oxen that had ever pulled a cart that had ever been made. But God said that's not the way this is going to happen. Verse number 7, the Bible, you can read it, says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. Notice verse number 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach on Uzzah, and he called that name Perez Uzzah to this day. Wow. You mean God's that serious about how we live? God's that serious about our lives in the presence of God being in our life? You mean He's that serious? He's that serious. It's pretty harsh. I don't think we hear that much anymore. We just hear, oh, it's good. Here's what I got from a man at work the other day. We was talking, he was having some trouble out of his daughter, and there were some things going on there, and I was trying to talk to him just a little bit, and just at the end of the conversation, he made this statement. He said, but it's all going to be all right. God's got it. It's all going to be all right in the end. Now, I'm telling you, I'm burdened about a lot of that statement. Because I believe a lot of good church going people believe that. And I'm not sure exactly what he meant, but if he was talking about the things that his daughter was into, that don't turn out good. Yes, if you're saved, it's going to be all right in the end. You're going to go to heaven. But listen, between now and then, there's a lot of things that we can get into. There's a lot of ways that we can lead our families or allow some things to come in our families that when the devil gets a hold of us, it's not going to be all right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God's serious about this thing.
Amen.
We need His presence. We need His blessings in our life. I got to hurry. So David was afraid of the Lord. He was afraid. That's a pretty good place to be.
My, for us to get close to God, to where we can know how serious that this thing is and have a holy fear of a holy God. My, that'd help us right good, wouldn't it? So we see right quick that before I move on from that, David was displeased about God killing Uzzah. But let me tell you this, God killed Uzzah. And notice what the Bible says there in verse number 7. He said God smote him there for his error. Not David's error. So you may have been in one of those churches that don't have the blessings that we got. Maybe you're dismissed or maybe you're trying to get to the right place. And you say, man, that old preacher Benoit, he's pretty straight. I don't know about all this. You better hang in there. There's a way that's right. And there's a way that leads to the presence of God in your life. Listen, what am I trying to say? Verse number 7, Uzzah died because it was his decision to go about worshiping in this way. It wasn't David's fault, it was his fault. Do you have the Holy Ghost of God in your life? You got the leadership then. Got the ability to know and to get to God. I'm being too harsh, Pastor. I don't want to. Oh, it's important tonight. So David was afraid in verse number 9. Let's go on to the presence of God. This was a bad time. David left the ark. He said, I'm afraid of God. Let's just put it right over there. I don't know how to deal with that. And you'll find in the story here, as you go on, I believe it's verse number 10, so David would not remove the ark of the Lord. It resided there in Obed-Edom. Verse number 11, the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. That's the way that thing works. Amen. You got the presence of God in your life. You may not have silver and gold, but there's blessings untold. Amen. Amen. So David, in verse number 12, here's what he did. And David told, and it was told King David, verse number 12, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God. So David went up and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David. It's very important words right here, in my opinion, with gladness. With gladness. I want you to see that. David made another run at this thing, but it was different this time. This time he decided to bring God's presence up with gladness. So I want to look at that just for a minute. In his presence and with the gladness of the Lord, David was right to fear. But the gladness, listen, gladness tonight is doing things God's way. Can I get a witness tonight? Amen. Listen, you can go about trying to do things your way. They won't turn out real good. You can go about trying to do things without the presence of God. But listen, there's gladness in the presence of God. And he went about, this time, bringing the ark up to the house of David with gladness. And this is where we turn over back over to 1 Corinthians chapter, or 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. Turn over there with me. I want to try to show you something right here. The presence of the Lord coming up with gladness. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, we're about to wrap this thing up. See, there was a 3-month period. David had time to go home and think about this thing. David had time to hear the account. Hey, at the house of Obed-Edom, God's blessing that place. The presence of God is worth it. And so David decided, we don't really get the account in the Bible, but when we get this account in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, we can understand that there was some seeking done in David's eyes and in David's heart. Let's look at verse number 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Then David said, None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God, to minister unto him forever. And then in verse number 11, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, and Uriel and Asaiah and Joel and Shemaiah and Eliah and Aminadab. You say, preacher, is that how you say that? It's exactly how I say those. Look at verse number 12. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Verse 13 is where I wanted to get to. For because ye did not at the first, the Lord God made a breach upon us, for we sought him not after due order. Moms and dads, I see some moms and dads in here tonight. Praise God, you got your family with you. It's important to seek God after the due order. What's that look like? You're starting pretty good tonight. You got your family in the house of God. You know what? There's pressure from those youngins, and it's going to get worse as they get older. The world's got a lot of stuff to do today on a Sunday. And it ain't, listen, because people live right in front of the Lord, we can enjoy the presence of the Lord here today. You can enjoy the presence of God at your household. But what I'm saying to you is that you can ignore the things that are important. You can go the way of the world and you will not have the presence of God prevalent in your life. You might be able to look back one of these days, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, some of those decisions that you wish you'd had the presence of God in your life, you wish you'd have stuck to your guns, you wish you'd have done this, you wish you'd have done that. And listen, you can see a lot of times, you can see the hand of God still helping you, but it's a lot different than the presence of God. Well, we could take a whole laundry list of things tonight, and we could pick out the sins, this sin, that sin. Here's what I'd rather do tonight, because I know that God put this little thought in my heart. Therefore, I know that God's working on the other side. There may be something in your way tonight that's keeping you, listen, from the presence of God. And it may be something really little. How do you know? Here, I'm going to show you. Can we go there? Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 6 together. I'm trying to finish up. We're about done. We're not even in the overtime yet. So David decided to do this thing with gladness. He realized that there was a due order of this thing. He realized that God is not going to accept man's form of worship. It's going to be God's way. The presence of God it's important that we line up with the Word of God to have the presence of God in our life. Everyone wants the blessings. But are you willing to do the things it takes to keep the presence of God? Brother Michael, it cost a little something. It cost a little something. Brother Michael's still a young man, and I love him. But Brother Michael, it'll cost a little something for you to be sanctified and set apart for God's use the rest of your life. It'll cost you something. It will. Brother Connor, it's going to cost you something. Be faithful to the work that you've decided that you're going to enter into here with these teens. The devil's going to be in his ear. Man, I could be doing all this stuff. I didn't need all this trouble. I didn't need all this turmoil that's going to pop up. Wait a minute. You said, I thought he's just doing the teens. Yeah, you don't think there's trouble there? Have y'all met y'all? I'm just kidding. We're just people, aren't we? It costs you, though, to stay where we need to stay with God. I'm trying to move. Today, folks expect God to accept their form of worship, listen, in their way of living. Pastor, I hope this is all right. I hadn't seen it yet, but I've seen it in places. Listen, if you're going to do something for the Lord and you're going to stand up in a choir, you need to look holy. You need to come in dressed holy. You realize that matters? I'm talking about our life being lined up with the things of God. God can't bless your choir music. Brother Dale, God can't bless that thing if God's people's not holy. I'm not talking about sinless. I'm talking about a reverence for God. Y'all with me this evening? Well, I'm meddling a little bit, aren't I? Today, people expect God to accept our worship. God is holy, though. His ways are holy. And listen, how dare we to even try to approach Him any other way? It was too late for Uzzah. Let me ask this question. I've got it wrote down. I don't want to skip it. How many deaths have happened at our hands of unacceptable worship and unacceptable ways? How many of our prayers go unheard and unanswered because of our lives? How many pleas have we made in vain, not realizing that God expects us to be holy, and yet we wonder how many times, where's His presence? Listen, I've got some pretty desperate prayers that I need answered. There's some people I love that I don't want them to die in the condition that they're in.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You know what? It ought to be desperately important to me that my life is lined up and I have the presence of God so that I don't have to go and wonder where God is when I need to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth, well, it means much to God. I need Him to move on my behalf. I don't know about you. Where am I? I don't even know where I'm at. In the presence of God, David decided to do it with gladness. And in verse 14, we read it when we got started. And David danced before the Lord. So in verse 13, and it was so, he decided to do it with gladness in verse 12, and it was so in verse 13, that when they bare the ark of the Lord and had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And then let's hone in right here. Let's focus in right here. The Bible says in verse 14 and 15, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. That sounds like a pretty good revival going on to me, don't it, you?
Amen.
You know what David did? He took off that kingly apparel. He took off that pride. He took off all that dignity that he might have wore as king. And he said, you know what? We're going to do this thing right. And when the presence of God started to move, he was just like me and you ought to be when God moves in our life. You know what he did? He said, nothing else matters but what I do before God right now. This is the part that I'm talking to you about tonight. I wonder what is in our way. I wonder what's holding us back from the true presence of God in our life and in our families. You see, and I think I'm going to cut it short because I'm just getting that leaning, Brother Pastor. You see, if you go on and read the account, David's wife, Michal, You know what she did when that parade came through and David really didn't care who was watching. He was just praising God. And he was glad the presence of God was coming to his house. You know what she did? She was looking at him through the window. And when she met him, she pretty much said this, "You made a fool out of yourself. Oh, look at you. Looking just like a common person, just like somebody, just like all the rest of these people. Who do you think you are?" See, what I want you to understand tonight is that holds a lot of us back. When we would shout, when we would lose our dignity, when we would hit these altars, when we would beg God, there's always somebody that you're wondering about. Oh, I wonder what, Pastor, what they're going to think about me. Man, if we can't worship God here, if there's something in your life that you can't take care of here, how long has it been? How long have you held on to that thing? And there's more preaching that I want to do, but I'm going to cut it off, Pastor. Because I really believe somebody needs to do business with God. Listen, in the day and time that we're living in, you cannot do without the presence of God. You can't afford to go on without the presence of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, there's spiritual battles that I feel daily. And it feels like Satan just got his hand on everything. And I wonder sometimes, what is the outcome going to be? You see, I don't doubt God. I don't doubt for a minute that God can intervene. I don't doubt for a minute that God can work. I don't doubt for a minute that God can move. Here's what I doubt. Will those that are blinded by Satan, the god of this world, will they move? Will they ever see? And my life, listen, my life matters. Your life matters. The presence of God in your life, it matters. It matters more than you may realize. I have no doubt that revival start. Let me say it this way. None of them start without a fresh and a moving presence of God. None of them start without Him. Brother Connor, we say we want revival, don't we? We say we need revival. Listen, we won't dance before God. I'm telling you, there's too much self in us. There's too much pride in us to get to where we ought to be with God. So tonight, Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you. Tonight, God may be playing your song. The real question is tonight, are you going to dance? God bless you tonight. I've said my piece.